brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, unto all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves. Save yourselves. Everybody say, save yourselves from this untoward, or this crooked, or this perverse generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Amen. I want to preach a next little bit on this subject. Salvation is an individual responsibility. Salvation is an individual responsibility. Save yourselves. Save yourselves. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Even if the motivation is proper, the preparation is complete, and the door of opportunity is wide open, the success of an operation depends on the individual's response. Amen. I said the success depends on the individual's response. The devil delighted in his perception that God was in a dilemma. You see, God hates sin. The devil knew that God hates sin. The devil also knew that God loves people. Amen. And so whenever the sin that God so desperately hated got into the human being that God so greatly loved, the devil thought, now we have God on the horns of a dilemma. What is God going to do now? Because he hates sin, and sin has become part of the human being. So is God going to still hate that human being? Or is God going to bend his rules of righteousness and accept this human being? The Bible said that sin has separated us from God. And that's right, it does. Sin separates people from God. Amen. But I want you to know something today, that God is a bridge builder. God is a way maker. God knows how to make a door and make a way where there seemeth to be no way. And so God did not hate the man. He still loved the person. He just hated the sin that was in the person. Let me give you some good news today. If you're here today and you're still in your sin, God does not hate you. He loves you, but he does hate your sin. Amen. Let's make no mistake about it today. God still hates sin. God does not wink at sin. God does not grin at sin. We haven't got a God that's so hip today that he's denied his basic holiness and accepted worldliness and carnality and sin and changed his mind about what he's always believed in. No siree. God still hates sin. Make no mistake about it. But on the other hand, God still loves people. Make no mistake about that. So it looked as though God had a dilemma, but I want you to know, God never has a dilemma. God always has a plan. Hallelujah. He knows the end from the beginning. Before there was a sin, He already knew a Savior. Hallelujah. Before there was ever a mistake or a sin committed, God already had a plan of redemption in place. Before the foundation of the world, the Bible said the Lamb was slain. What are we talking about? When John the Baptist looked up and saw Jesus coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away, that taketh away, that taketh away the sin of the world." Amen. God already had a plan in mind before sin ever came into the world. It did not take Him by surprise. He had a plan. Corinthians said it this way, Paul writing to the Corinthian church, Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21, it says, He, talking about God, God was manifest in flesh. That was Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God did not turn around to His Son standing by His side and say, "Son, I love those people so much, go down there and die for them." That would be child abuse. I said, that'd be child abuse. I cannot imagine myself telling my daughter, "I love those people so much, Cherie, go down there and die for them, honey. I'll sit up here on the throne." No, sir. The Bible said, for God was manifest in the flesh. Not somebody secondary, but God Himself was manifest in flesh. The Bible said, for God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. You see, God loved so much, He couldn't die because He was a spirit. He's an eternal God. He didn't have any blood to shed. So God, in the course of time, came down and took upon Himself a body just like yours and mine that was covered with flesh and had blood flowing through His veins. And He came and lived in that body. And He was exposed to sin and tempted in all ways like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. He said, "Adam, you messed up." But Paul said, the second Adam, that was Jesus Christ. This time, he said, we're coming down, we're going to do battle in the same place, in a physical human body. But this time, I'm going to win. So he came. I mean to tell you, Satan threw everything he had at Jesus Christ. When the Bible said He tempted in all ways like as we are, He meant that. Don't tell me He was some kind of glorified flesh that couldn't be touched with temptation. If that's true, He cannot help me. He cannot understand me. But if it's what the writer of Hebrews said, and I believe it is, that He was tempted in all ways as we are, then He can understand when I'm tempted. Amen. If He was working in the carpenter shop, smacked His thumb with a hammer like I have, and some words came into His mind, but He wouldn't let them out of His mouth, that all right? Tempted in all ways. Amen. Yes, He was. He was tempted, friend, just like you and I. But He overcame temptation. He never succumbed to temptation. He never gave in to temptation. Temptation is not sin. I've been tempted and felt so dirty because I was tempted, but I wasn't dirty because I didn't sin. I was contaminated on the outside, but not on the inside. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And the Bible said that He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So He came and took up on Himself our form. and died in our stead, that by the shedding of his blood and that by his death in the flesh, that he could pass that on to us, so that we who were without hope in the world and without righteousness and without godliness and without real goodness, so that we could take on his nature and we could become like him. The Bible says that we are made the righteousness of God in Christ. The only way you can do it is get into him, and you get into him by letting him in you. When he comes in, hallelujah, it makes all the difference in the world. Jesus said to his disciples right before he died, he said, I am with you, but I shall be in you. Hallelujah. What are you talking about, Jesus? He said, right now I've got a skin, flesh, and blood body just like yours, and I can't get inside because of that limitation. But in just a little while, I'm going to go to a cross, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to go back in the spirit form, and I'm going to come back on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah, in the form of spirit. And as a spirit, I'm going to move on the inside, and it's going to be that same Jesus that you saw go away. He's going to come again, and he did, hallelujah, in the spirit. Amen. He said, I've been fighting for you on the outside, but I'm getting ready to fight for you on the inside. Hallelujah. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Hallelujah. That was a time I couldn't win the battle, but now I can win the battle, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Praise God. Salvation is an individual responsibility. It's available, but you have to accept it and act on it and appropriate the gift. Well, Brother Grissom, what do I do? And that's exactly what they ask in verse number 37, wasn't it? Men and brethren, what shall we do? And the answer is so very plain. Peter said, repent. That means change what you're doing. You've heard the definition of insanity, right? Insanity that says insanity is doing the same thing you've always done and expect a different result. So by that definition, most people are insane. Isn't that right? That's right. They expect, well, you know, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that, but it's gonna turn out different this time. Oh no. It always has the same ending. You go down that road, it's a dead end, it's always gonna be a dead end. Amen. But you'll change direction. That's what repentance is. God, I'm sick and tired of going down this same old road and getting to this same dead end. And then I find myself tomorrow right back at the same junction, and I make the same dumb mistake. I'm tired of it. I want to change my life. That's what repentance is. Amen. And then he said, be baptized. Amen. Anything that's dead starts stinking and needs to be buried. Isn't that right? You bury dead stuff. Sin needs to be buried. I said, sin needs to be buried. Amen. The Bible said we are baptized for the remission of our sins. For the remission, the removal, the blotting out of our sins. Hallelujah. That sounds good to me. I don't know about you. But it sounds real good to me that there's a place I can get rid of my sins. And I can wash them away so that they'll never be remembered against me again. That's what baptism does. And then the infilling of the Holy Ghost. He said, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's when Christ is in you, a brand new life and a power and the Spirit in God himself moves inside. My, what an experience that is. But it is an individual responsibility. You have to receive it. Amen. If I had a $100 bill today, and I don't, but if I did, And I walked down this aisle waving it, said, "Who wants this? Just whoever wants it, reach out and take it." I wouldn't even get past the first pew. Brother James had moved faster than he's ever moved. He'd be off of that pew tackling me. Amen. Praise God. I wouldn't even get started. Amen. Right. But it's just receiving. You have to receive God's gift. He doesn't force it on you. Just receive it. You just receive it. Salvation, the word salvation means to be delivered out of a situation. Saved from destruction. Saved unto life eternal. But it's a choice we make. On Wednesday of this week, two men, Julio Ortiz and Kyle Redmond, went to work in the city of Boston. Their job was to clean the windows on a tall building. They got on their platform and they started up like every other morning and they started washing windows. They were up on the 37th floor and all of a sudden something snapped on the right side of that platform. And they began to slide and it fell down 45 degrees. And they were hanging there, 37 stories above the street. And you know what? They were not calm about it. They started beating on the windows and they started hollering as loud as they could, "Somebody help us! Somebody call 911! Somebody get us some help up here! Can't you see we're about to plunge to our destruction?" Screaming, hollering, till somebody looked out and saw what was going on and called the fire department and the siren zone, and here they came from every direction. Amen. And they ran up the stairs and got up there and somebody knocked out one of the windows and they reached out and I'm telling you, they didn't have to fight them. They didn't have to beg them. "Boys, we open this window if y'all like to. Would y'all like to come in?" Oh no, it wasn't any of that going on. As a matter of fact, they could only rescue one at a time. So the first one, they got hold of him, and the second was out there. You can imagine the butterflies in his stomach. Hey man, is it going to get me in time? Is this thing going to give way before they can get a hold of me? Am I going to plunge to my death? What am I going to do? Hurry up! Hurry up! Hurry up! Don't leave me here. Amen. Hey, the day you get that concerned about your salvation is the day you get saved. The day you get that excited and that concerned about the Holy Ghost is the day you receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. When you understand this is not playtime, this is not just church as usual, but I'm lost, I'm headed for hell, and unless somebody rescues me, I'm not going to make it. Right. You've got to make up your mind today. Let's stand together. Amen. It's an individual responsibility. The preacher can't save you. Your Sunday school teacher can't save you. Your youth leader can't save you. The musicians can't save you. Your mom, your dad, your grandma, your grandpa, your friend can't save you. It's your responsibility today. We can pray for you. We can talk to you. But we can't save you. But I'm telling you today, there's a hand reaching downward. And he's just simply saying, "Take my hand and I'll lift you up. I'll pull you out and I'll put your feet on a solid rock." Amen. Praise God. Somebody today, do you want to accept that responsibility? "Jesus, you did everything you could to save me. You didn't hold anything back. You gave your life. He shed your blood. You did everything you could possibly do. And now it's my turn. I've got to respond to that today. Have to make up my mind. Is it going to be heaven? Or is it going to be hell? Is it going to be Jesus? Or is it going to be self? Is it going to be misery? Or is it going to be peace? I've got to make up my mind today. Amen. Let me open this altar, somebody. Why don't you come and give your life to the Lord right now? Open up your heart today. Let Him in. If you'll open the door. As a matter of fact, as soon as you take one step, He'll walk with you all of the way. You just take one step today, and He'll walk with you the rest of your life. He'll never leave you. Somebody give Him a chance today. Somebody open the door. Praise. Somebody open the door. Praise the Lord, Jesus.